big nuclear time bombs. Holy overeating. Holy roller coasters.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for the Lion Sidekick Podcast.
Hey, heroes. Welcome back for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. I'm Tom Pounder, your host, and this is where ministers come to get some cool tips and tricks and ideas on how to do ministry more effectively in a very digital and online world. And today we're not going to go as digital and online in our discussion today. However, it's a very important topic that we're going to be discussing because we're going to talk about our mental health, our well-being, what it takes for us to stay healthy long-term so that we can have a long-lasting ministry. And to help me with that is a woman named Charlie Condor, and she works for Orange, and she's also a life coach. She works with the Youth Cartel. She's just got a lot of experience, and she's the perfect person to talk to on how we can stay healthy long-term, especially in the midst of crazy ministry seasons. Whether it's the fall, winter, spring, or summer, they're all crazy ministry seasons. So how do you stay healthy in the midst of those seasons? Charlie's going to talk to us about that, and I'm really excited about this interview. So without any further ado, let's get into the podcast interview right now with Charlie Condor. All right, with me right now is Charlie Condor. Charlie, how are you?
I am great. How are y'all?
I am doing fantastic. You are at camp right now. What camp are you at?
Yeah, I'm at high school camp in Sevierville, Tennessee. It's the Wilderness of the Smokies, and it's this awesome water park. I haven't seen anything like it before. It's pretty awesome.
Really? That's awesome. And you're from Georgia, right?
I am from Georgia. High school camp. Orange hosts it for any high school ministry in the United States, and we have people here from all over. We have a church here that drove 18 hours on a church bus.
Oh my gosh. That is awesome.
So that's like an inner circle of hell, 18 hours on a church bus, right? Like, that's horrible. And one of the churches broke down twice trying to get here yesterday.
Oh,
and
my gosh.
We ended up taking all of our personal vehicles and going to get them. Because they broke down in Knoxville, about 40 miles from here, but they're from Indiana, and they had broken down halfway here, and then they broke down again in Knoxville.
Oh my gosh, that is crazy.
I know. Don't you feel for the youth pastor who has that stress of all those students and then the bus and all the catastrophes? Mm. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, that is very that is definitely stressful for sure.
Yeah.
I had one trip when I took students to I live out of Washington D.C. We took kids upstate New York, and our bus broke down in the middle of Pennsylvania. It was just terrible. So, so what are you doing? What's your role there this week at camp?
Yeah, so I'm an Orange Student Specialist. So what I get to do is to talk to our partners, youth pastors that are here, small group leaders are here, and get to do some one-on-one conversations with them about how to maximize the Orange strategy in the context of their ministry. I'm a small church girl. I've always served in a Methodist church and a pretty small Methodist church. And so I get to talk about how to make it work in the context of 15 students instead of 1,500 students.
Wow.
That's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that is it is a lot of fun. So that's awesome. Well, how long have you been working with Orange?
Guess what? This is my 1 year anniversary.
Really? That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thank you. This is my first summer not being a youth pastor in the last 15 years.
Wow. That is great. Now, how did you get connected with Orange?
Yeah, so I have been an Orange user for about 10 years. I was at the very first Orange conference, if you can believe it.
Wow.
And I've been a raving fan of Orange. I felt like it not only transformed my ministry, but serving in a smaller church, my middle school ministry was over 200 kids.
Okay.
And we didn't have the budget to support extra employees. And so Orange really gave me what I felt like was an assistant, because it produced so much great content that I didn't spend time creating graphics and bumper videos. And so I love Orange. I love the strategies and how to partner with the parents. And so I'm just a big fan. So a couple of years ago, they came to my church and did a documentary on how we use the XP3 curriculum in our church.
Cool.
It's super fun. Yeah, they got to see all of these middle schoolers descend on our campus. And so that was really great. And I've been writing games for them for a couple of years. So I was really excited when the opportunity to be an Orange specialist came up. So it's so fun for me. And it really gets to, I have a certification in coaching. So I'm a certified executive coach, but I really use it for ministry. Yeah. So it gives me an opportunity to really coach other youth pastors on how to be more effective in their ministries.
Yes. See, that is awesome. And now we're going to tap into your coaching ability. We'll talk about what you do with coaching specifically a little bit later. But, you know, we're talking today, you're on the podcast today to talk about how to, you know, how to get through just crazy times in ministry. So what, I mean, ministry, isn't it just easy? Everyone just thinks, you know, student ministries just play video games the whole time, right?
Well, you go to the beach retreat because it's a vacation, right?
Yes, yes. I mean, it's unbelievable, right?
You know, that was always kind of conversation in my churches that we had. Beach retreat, that's a vacation for you, right? Yeah. And so one year, I invited the business administrator to come on the retreat with me. Mm. And let me tell you, those eyes were opened.
Yes. Yeah. It's so funny. Again, I've been in student ministry for over 20 years now, and it's just unbelievable to still think that people think, wait, are you full-time on the church? Like, what else do? What's your real job? They still ask me that.
What do you do the rest of the week?
Yeah, exactly right. Exactly right. So how can you take care of yourself, Charlie? What are some good things that you've learned over time that can really help ministers?
So I have to tell you, I've learned how to do this because I didn't do it well to begin with. Mm-hmm. And all of those things I felt like because I went so hard and so fast and ignored what my body was telling me because I had youth ministry to do. I had to meet with another family. I had a senior pastor I needed to talk to. And all of the things really began to build up for me and really caused me to implode as a person. And so from that, I've learned how to not work for God, but to be with God in ministry so that it doesn't create this burnout for you. I've really focused on creating a healthy boundaries with the no's. So for me, not only serving student ministry, but as a parent, I served on the PTSA. And so I was busy in the schools and in my community. And I really said yes to too many things. And when I create a culture of no, it allowed me to say yes to the right things and no to the things that made me busy. Eugene Peterson says that busyness is a sign of an illness in your spirit. Oh. And I felt like I was saying yes because it was the right thing to do, when in fact, I think it was what was making me ill. Mm-hmm. And so creating a culture of no, I found out people were kind of jealous that I could say no to things and walk away from it and being okay to say no.
Yeah.
But I also found that as a student pastor, I took advantage of the people who said yes. So I had to create a culture of not allowing my volunteers to say yes too many times either.
Yeah,
because we know that person who will help us out in a pinch, don't we?
Yeah.
And we go to them all the time. Mm-hmm. But if we want to talk about self-care, we have to talk about self-care, not just for ourselves, but for our folks, for our volunteers, for our congregation. And we have to not abuse the yes people either.
Yeah, this is fantastic, actually, because especially when I was a younger student minister, I had an older man who kind of mentored me just as a person, not as a student minister, but just as a person. And he would tell me all the time, when you say yes to this, you are saying no to something else. And again, when you say yes to too many things, they may be good things, but that you are saying no to other things. And I've discovered in my life that oftentimes is I'm saying no to me in my own self. And you have to be selfish, right? You have to take care of yourself.
Listen, my daughter is 19, and I think I forgot what fourth grade looked like for her because I was serving in a church of about 400 people, and I had 250 middle schoolers, and I was the only full-time employee. And I, as a mom, I feel guilty, as any parent I think would, but I spent so much time working in ministry that I think I missed fourth grade.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm glad you said that, because There are times, again, especially when you're a student minister or a children's minister or whatever kind of minister, and you're single or you don't have a family, it's easy to say yes to a lot of things because you can do it. It's just a natural thing. But your legacy, I say this all the time now, your legacy is your family. Once you have a family, it's not your ministry, because these kids are going to come in and out of your life. You're going to keep in touch with a good amount of them, but your family is your family for the rest of your life.
I mean,
you know, and how you treat them and how you take care of them is so vitally important.
And absolutely.
So I'm with you 100% on this.
So another way I've created these boundaries in self-care is something that actually gives me hives. I am an 8 on the Enneagram. I love to be with people. I'm loud. I have this ADD personality. And I learned that silence is a key to self-care.
Really?
Like I just need some quiet time. I spent so much time working for God that I was not able to hear God anymore. Mm. Every time I read scripture, I was planning a sermon. I was planning devotions. It was never a time for Charlie and God. Mm-hmm. It was just for the ministry. And by days, I had to start with 30 minutes. And that was the longest 30 minutes of my life.
Yes.
I'll be really honest with you.
Yes, great.
But that's what I started with. And I started learning how to be quiet and to be still. Mm-hmm. And I think if anyone's serving in ministry right now, you need to hear this, because we spend so much time talking and talking to others. When do we ever have time just to be quiet? Mm-hmm. And I think we tell our students that all the time, right? We got to listen to God. Well, how do you listen to God when you're just busy all the time, right?
Right.
And so silent days, I would take silent retreats, and I worked up to 2 days that I could go. I found a place that has no Wi-Fi, no TV, and just locked myself away. And wow. In those moments, I could read. I read through scripture. I would journal.
I one time actually did this. I did an experiment. I didn't live without technology for the day, but I lived without my smartphone for the day. And I turned off my smartphone. I kept it on me just in case I needed it for an emergency or something like mm-hmm. that. But I lived without my smartphone. And one thing I discovered about that day was I was bored a lot. And when I was bored is when I start to think and I start mm-hmm. to spend time with God. And I got a lot of ideas that day just by me just sitting and looking outside. Like I was in, I had to drop my car off at a dealership, and they didn't have any televisions up or anything like that. It was really kind of an older building. And I just sat there for 15 minutes by myself waiting for them to give me a ride to my office. And I just sat there looking and thinking and processing. And it was a great day for me by just being able to by disconnecting in that way.
It's interesting that we don't do that anymore, right?
Right.
I challenged when I was on staff at my church, it was during Lent. I'm Methodist and we really celebrate the season of Lent. And during that time, I was like, challenge the staff, can we do silent days during the week? Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't believe the, from that, right? Everyone was freaking out. They're like, well, how long? Like, can we have our phone? Like, it was this negotiation, right? But it's interesting to me that we can get so caught up in the work for him, but mm-hmm. we're never with him, right?
Yeah.
Gosh, and your self-care suffers.
Yeah.
My spirit, I'm so much more renewed when I can start a day in meditation and in prayer before my feet hit the floor and you're just busy.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's a great point you have there. So what else? How else can we take care of ourselves?
I think listening to your body and listening to, you got to pay attention. Mm-hmm. I had a complete breakdown and had to have an emergency kidney surgery.
Oh, wow.
But I kind of knew it was coming when I couldn't walk to my car at the end of the night and would scoot in my office chair out to my car. And my senior pastor was like, you've got to stop. But how do you stop? Mm-hmm. Sometimes we don't know how to stop. Well, it will carry on without you.
Yeah.
And I was younger and I thought ministry, I had to be there to make it happen. Yeah. I wasn't good at giving things away yet. I hadn't got to that point in my leadership skills. And my body revolted, guys. Yeah. You got to be careful with that.
Yeah. You know, I agree with you on that. One time I actually had the flu and I refused to admit that I had the flu. I was younger. And so I went to work and I was miserable. And I actually laid down. We had a youth room in this one church I worked at. And I laid down on the couch. And again, this older gentleman who was mentoring me came in and said, "What are you doing, dude? Get the heck home, go to sleep. You have to take care of yourself." And I was like, no, I have to be here. I have to work. We live in this, especially in the DC area where I live, but I think it's everywhere now, but we live in a workaholic environment mm-hmm. right now.
Yes. So
you have to work, work, work. And it's expected that you work, work, work. And then again, I think you've pointed this out to before in this interview is that when we're constantly work, and we don't let God do the work. You know, right. We have to make it work, you know, and it's just, it's ridiculous, honestly.
My husband works in the corporate world, and he's like, only in ministry would you work yourself into the ground and not even admit it. Mm. He's like, there's just this time, he's like, that you have to say no and let somebody else step in. Yeah. And I feel like in ministry, we're not good at that.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. You do have to listen to your body on that. So that's a fantastic point. So,
yeah.
Where are you at with exercising in this? Like, you know, how has that evolved? Because I will say this, I needed to start exercising in order to start taking care of myself. Mm-hmm. And I eat terribly. I mean, because again, student pastors, we eat like
crazy. We eat all the O's, Cheetos, Doritos, Mountain Dew mixed in there, right?
Yes. So how does this factor into your self-care?
Do you know what's really interesting? I worked for a senior pastor who would do our 30-minute meetings and we'd walk at the park just to get out and get some exercise. For me, part of my self-care is yoga. I love yoga. I'm terrible at it. I don't want anyone here to think I'm amazing at it. I use like 4 yoga blocks at a time because I'm not flexible. Uh-huh. But there has to be a moment for your body to rejuvenate itself. And then yoga gets my mind back where it needs to be in that reset mode. But it's a moment for me to provide my body with some time of rejuvenation.
Yep.
And that space it creates in your brain, like if my husband likes to run and he says that gives him some space.
Yeah.
I like to walk my dogs and go to yoga.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
Oh, I'm with your husband on this because I wasn't much of an exercise person, but it came to the point where I'm like, I needed to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I'm just going to get out there and I'm going to run. And my goal was to run 2 miles or 20 minutes, whatever came first. And so over the course of the last 5 years now, I've been running consistently, and I have my own goals on that, but I run not because I like to run. People ask me all the time, they're like, do you run 5Ks and 10Ks or a half mile? I'm like, no, I've never done any of that stuff. I just run 20 minutes or 2 miles, whatever comes first. Yeah. And I use it to just process my crazy life. I mean, it is my space to get out away from my kids and away from everything else and just run and just think for a little bit. And I use the pray and all that kind of stuff. It's a great thing for me to do, not because I love it, but because I feel like I need it.
I find it interesting when I meet a lot of people in ministry, they don't take the time to eat well, to exercise. And if you want to start with self-care, that's an easy place to start, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's just get outside and walk around the block a little bit.
Yep. I agree with you completely. So... Well, Charlie, this has been fantastic. I mean, this has given me some really great things, and I know it's going to be a blessing to other people. And you kind of hinted this earlier, but you are a coach. You are a certified coach.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit about that and what you do as a coach.
Yeah. So about 4 years ago, I was a graduate through the Youth Cartel Youth Ministry Cohorts. And I went through the cohort with Mark Ostreicher and loved it. And I was encouraged to go get my coaching certificate. And I went and got my coaching certificate. And then the Youth Cartel invited me in to be their ministry coach.
Wow.
And so I do some one-on-one coaching. I also coach the cohorts that Marco leads. And it gives me an opportunity to spend time with youth pastors and to coach them on how to be a little bit more effective in their ministry. Mm. Or sometimes I'm just a sounding board, right? Is this going to work? What do you think? And it's great because I get to do that with Orange. And then it's great to do it on the outside of Orange through the cartel because I get to meet so many other youth pastors and kind of hear about what they're doing. I think it's that old iron sharpen iron, right? And to hear about what they're doing and to coach them through situations. For me, having a ministry coach, I had a ministry coach for a year. It changed my life.
That's awesome.
It set me on the direction of learning about self-care, how to take care of myself, how to let go of my ministry. And it really developed me as a leader. And so I would say to anyone who hasn't had a ministry coach in their life, it's the best thing that you can do.
Yeah, I agree with you completely because I have a coach that I don't have a ministry coach quite like you, But I do have a guy who coaches me along the process, and it is invaluable to have that. So if someone wanted to connect with you and the Youth Cartel and the coaching, where would they go? How would they go about doing that?
Yeah, you can find me on my website at charliecondor.com. And from there, you can link to the Youth Cartel. You can also link to Orange. Or you can contact me about one-on-one coaching as well. I think if you're ever in this point that you feel like you've hit a glass ceiling in ministry, mm-hmm. a ministry coach can help you get to the next step.
Yeah. I agree with you completely. I'm 100% behind you on that. Wait, so with you having a website, do you blog on that too?
Can I be really honest?
Yes, please.
I'm a terrible blogger. I don't blog enough. I do have a blog on there. It is not super great though.
Okay. That's okay. Well, we'll still go to your website and I'll include the link in the show notes. Let me ask you about social media. Are you on Twitter?
Oh my gosh, you can find me on every social media platform at Charlie Condor. Okay. I am on Twitter and Instagram. All the fun, of course, Facebook, right? Because, you know, when you're in the over 40 crowd, you're definitely on Facebook.
Well, you don't look over 40. I was going to guess you were in your early 30s. So
Oh my gosh. Tom's my new best friend, guys.
Hey, well, this has been fantastic. And I will definitely include all your links so that people can connect with you. And check out your website and some coaching opportunities as well. So, Charlie, thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
All right. So there you have it. My conversation with Charlie, and she was a blast to have on. She has a lot of energy, and she had a lot of energy for being at camp when she did this interview. So I really appreciate her being on there. And I would really encourage you, if you don't have a ministry coach, check her out. I got her website in my show notes. Just click on it, or you can click on her Twitter or Instagram accounts as well on the show notes. Connect with her. She's got a lot of great insights, and she's a fantastic person, so I would encourage you to do that. Hey, but I would love to hear from you now. What is it? How do you take care of yourself, especially in the midst of crazy seasons, but how do you take care of yourself so you can last long-term in ministry? I would love to hear your thoughts on that, so definitely hit me up on Twitter at TA Pounder. All right, heroes, well, that wraps it up for another episode of the YM Sidekick podcast. As always, head on over to iTunes and subscribe to this, especially if you enjoyed this conversation. I've got plenty of other conversations lined up, and I've got a whole catalog of previous conversations that you can check out as well. So go to iTunes and subscribe, or go to ymsidekick.com, and you can check out all my stuff there with the blogs, the vlogs, the podcasts, and my Twitter ebook. I'm also working on some new resources myself. So you can check that out and stay tuned to YM Sidekick when those come out. All right, heroes, well, I hope you have a great rest of the day and you have a great rest of the week. And until next time, have a great one.